So CLCC, we're going to be going back to Transformation Series. I've been working on this for a few months now, and God's really been putting it on my heart whenever I'm preaching. And one of the things I want to talk about today, like on our blue sheet, this is our mission, what we're covering, part of our focus for work, part of our focus for this church. And today we're going to be walking in freedom. Walking in freedom. How many of y'all want to walk in freedom today? It's funny. Because he's so good at that, isn't he? So good at that. Oh, there's the cat again. I just want to pet that cat. I'm going to switch because it's gonna drive you off the wall. Let's do this.
Up, please, gentlemen. Thank you. You guys do such a... Let's give the guys in the sunroom a clap. They do such a good job. I appreciate it. That is a job that is very thankless. And if anything goes wrong, you're right looking straight to them. So don't look straight to them. Sometimes it's this technology. Okay? All right. Let's get that straight. I've been in the sound room enough to know that there is no praise and glory in the sound room. Let's tell you that. There's nothing there. And thank you for everyone else that works in there. I don't want to exclude. Thank you. That's a great word. I like that word. Exclude. Exclude anyone from that. So I appreciate everyone that works in the sound room. I really do. Making us sound good. Amen. Because sometimes we need a little bit more than others. I'm just saying. So, amen. So today I'm going to be talking about what's your attitude and perspective. Ooh. I know we're in the season of Christmas. Perspectives have changed. It's about gifts. And Mariah Carey on the radio, she comes out every 7 months, and then she has all the songs and stuff like that, and then she goes back in. You don't hear from her from January till August, and then all of a sudden she comes back out. Christmas songs, everyone. All the Christmas music comes out. Presents, gifts, all that fun stuff. Woo! Especially if you have kids. Oh, man, it's the real deal sometimes buying gifts for kids. Woo! Oh, it's come sometimes tough. I got four, so that's a lot of gifts. So, and this year, I even shopped for them for our cats. So our cats even got them gifts this year from Luke and Lando. So they're getting special gifts from them. Some of y'all may think, Van, that's crazy. And yes, it is. But the cats got to contribute too. They're just using my money. So... my mother started doing that, and so it's kind of a tradition with me. So I'm like, all right, we'll let the cats get something. But yeah, and our attitude during this time. Some of us are like, not really bah humbug, but I'm like, ugh. If you're like me, I'm not a big fan of Christmas decorations. I'm just not, you can rebuke me. That's fine. I'll live with it. I'm just not a big fan of decorating. And I will say this. So I was never a big fan before decorating, but when I went to work at Sears and Roebuck back in the day, I used to work there. I used to work in the lawn and garden department. And every year, we would pull out about 20 trees, decorate them, fluff them, and do all the stuff to them. And after that, I was done. I'm like, I don't want to decorate any more trees. So pray for my wife, because, I mean, I don't like to decorate. I like to see my kids decorate. I like to see her decorate, but I don't like to decorate. So pray for her, because I have a hard time even hanging ornaments up. So we already did. I already did our tree and everything. I did hang up my ornaments like a good father, like a good husband. I did do that, enjoy that as much as I could. But pray for me, for my attitude on that. So y'all can do that for me. But it's interesting to see what our perspective is with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And Sozo... that we talk about, how do you see God? How do you see Holy Spirit? How do you see Jesus? And it was going down the road one day. Well, actually, it was this week. And I was, looking down the road, and my perspective changed a little bit. And I was, I saw this big old massive truck. It's, one of the big – and on the back of it, I could have swore it said this, but it was not quite what I read. And it said, oversized Lord. It's like, oversized Lord. Boy, they're moving up in this world. I'm like, man, all right. Thank you, Jesus, It actually said oversized load is what it really said. I was like, well, my eyes, maybe I'm 40. So now that I'm 40, maybe that's sign of the times. I don't know, but maybe I need to get some glasses. I don't know about that, but you know, I was looking at that. I was like, you know what? I was thinking about that. I was like, man, oversized Lord. Is that how we view Jesus? Is that how we view our God sometimes? As oversized, amazing, huge. Or do we think of God as this little God who fits in my little box about this big, and that's about it? That's not who he is. And what about our attitude towards God the Father, Jesus the Holy Spirit? What about that? You know? Definitely in this season, it's all about me. It can be. It's not supposed to be. But it can be all about me. You know? I want this. I want this. And so if you have kids, it can be very much about them. I want this. 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 I want all this stuff. All of it. Give it all to me. All of my Amazon wish list I must have. Sometimes, I mean, ask the kids. That's what they'll say. I want it all. As they reach for their Amazon wish list and just keep clicking on more things. I want this, 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 this. Remember when I was, yeah. My brother-in-law knows. He's like, yeah. I remember the old days. Now, before Amazon wish lists and the flyers, the weekly flyers, my mother and dad, what would you want? You want to circle what you want in the flyers. Circle what you want. Some of us are that age. And we're like, circle what you want in the flyer. We get the Sunday paper right before Christmas or a few weeks before, like, and your parents say, well, what do you want? What do you want Santa bring you? What do you want Santa bring you? And we're like, okay, I want this, and circle this. And so sometimes we do Sharpie, because Sharpie really meant you wanted it. This is first priority, Mom and Dad, Santa. This is first priority. Or if you didn't have a Sharpie, you had a red pen. Red pen, oh, yes. You circle it 3 or 4 times. Star it if you're like me, underline it, you know. I want this. I want it now. I want it for Christmas. But if we're not careful, we get to be like that, like adults. I want, I want. I need, I need. You sound like somebody familiar. You sound like Veruca Salt and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I'm not talking about the new one. The new one's nice. I'm talking about the old one. Because I'm 40, I grew up with this one, with the Gene Wilder one. And there was this, and if you haven't watched it, I feel sorry for you. I really do, because it's a great movie. A little older, but yes. And so, if you don't know the premise of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory or Veruca Salt, let me tell you, let me enlighten you. So what would happen was, this girl wanted everything. And her father and mother gave her everything. She was a rich, spoiled brat. And so she was like, I want this. I want this. I want this. And there's a whole song that she does in the middle of the Willy Wonka and Chocolate Factory movie. And while she's in this room wanting a golden goose that lays golden eggs, chocolate eggs, that is. And she's like, I want this. And then she goes around and just beating up the whole factory and singing, I want it. And she's just mean. She's just mean. Selfish. And so are we like that though? Let's dive a little deeper then. Let's get to the heart point of the matter. Are we like that like Christians as well? Well, what do you mean, Pastor Van? What do you mean? I'm a Christian. I'm Christ-like. I want God's love. I want to share Christ with everyone. Yes. But how many of us are so focused on the needs of us that we forget to worship him? Oh. That we're so concerned where our next paycheck is coming from. We're so concerned about our housing. Those are things that he said he would provide. So concerned with promises that he promised us. So concerned with things that we have to have or we need that we forgot that he wants to bless us. And we forgot that, hey, it's not about me and God serving me. That's not the message of Jesus. It's about loving him and surrendering our lives to him. And he will supply us all of our needs. Come on, somebody. I'm getting real today. Can I be real today? Is it okay? Is that okay? We forget about what he's done for us already, and we just get focus on what we need for this season. God, I need this. God, I need this. God, I need this. And our prayer time is more like I need on a Christmas list more than my relationship with him. It's true. Now, there are seasons where we go through things that we have, you know, very difficult situations. But sometimes we need to step back from saying, God, I need you, to God, I bless you. I worship you. We need to change that perspective. We need to get out of our own self, this old self, this old body, this flesh, and get into blessing him because he's so good. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Come on, somebody. Do you believe what he says? And he's faithful to manifest his promises. He's faithful for his promises. And if our attitude's like, well, God, I'm just here to remind you of my promises. Where are they? I've been waiting. I've been waiting, God. Where are my promises? I want them now. Your word says, now. I mean, really, come on. Amen, the echo. I love it. I love it. Let's hear it a second time. Preach it, man. Preach it. That's a good word, brother. That's a good word. Preach it. That's my mother-in-law's laugh. We love her. We love the laugh. It's a good laugh. But come on. We sound like spoiled kids. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for promises, but it's your attitude. When your attitude is all about you and you and you and you, you can't see him because you're blocked by you. Come on. Instead of it being about me and God, my promises and this and this and that, and I claim it and I claim it and name it, and I blab it and grab it, all that stuff, why don't we just be like, Father, I thank you because you're taking good care of me, but I bless you and want to love on you. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And even though my life is a little rough right now, I still bless you in the midst of this storm. I bless you in the midst of this fire. And Father, whatever may come from it, your name be glorified in all of this. And you can turn anything into your glory and for the good of those that believe. Come on, somebody. Big difference between attitude where God give me this or God, I bless you no matter the outcome. Because that's where we show our true Christian walk. When we go through something tragic, we go through something that's tough, when we go through the fire, we go through the storm, people are going to look at us, and if we act the same way as the world does, there is no difference between our God and their God. When that situation happens, Father, I bless you. And I pour out love. And it's not easy. I'm not saying I've arrived at any of that. I'm working on it. Especially in those stressful situations. Boy, sometimes my kids, dear Jesus, sometimes they're a little rough. And I'm like, Father, I don't know about love, but I know about discipline. I know about the law. And I'm about ready to lay down some law right about now. Help me, Lord Jesus. Oh, it's worse when they get older. Oh, no. Dear Jesus, oh, Father, help me, help me. But I'm going to learn this now so when they get older, I'll be able to do better. That's right. It's never too late to start. Never too late to start. But I want to encourage you guys. Attitude and perspective. That's what it's all about. Because when we have that right, we see transformation happen in our bodies. We see transformation happen in our minds. In our soul and our spirit, we see transformation because God is transforming us every time we get into his presence. If we allow him, he wants to, because the more time you spend with him, the more you'll look like him, the more time you'll react to like he does, instead of selfishness and things like that and ungratefulness, why don't we have gratefulness? Why don't we have thanksgiving? Why don't we have confidence in the Father? Why don't we have love? Well, there's a good one. I mean, 1 Corinthians 13 says all about love, and it's good. And it's tough sometimes. I'm not going to lie. It's tough sometimes. But when we get our right perspective, our right attitude and the right perspective, then we can be love. Then we can show this hurting, dying world about our Jesus and how we can react to him. Instead of being childish, which I talked about a month, I think it was 2 months ago now, the sermon on that, about being childish or childlike. Instead of being childish, we can be childlike and bless the Father. So, fair warning, if you're a pastor's kid, you know that any time you do something could be brought into a sermon. My kids are not old enough to really realize that yet, but they will. They will soon. As much as Andrew and Ryan probably do. And it's okay. It's all right. As much as Stephanie and Becky and Dory all know, you know, nothing's quite safe sometimes when dad gets in front of the pulpit. Just saying. Even son-in-laws. Wow. It's okay. It's all right. I can take it. It's good. It's good. But my daughter, Evelyn, we were going to McDonald's one day, and she loves McDonald's. She loves McDonald's, you know. She loves everything about McDonald's, you know. And so she gets this Happy Meal, and she's like, oh, Daddy, can I get a Happy Meal? Let me get a four nugget and all this and apple slices and a drink and all that. And it's like, you know, I was like, and it was just me and her. And I was like, sure, honey, we can do that. Because I was, as a parent, you like to give good gifts to your children. You like to do things special, make them feel special. You know, and so, all right, let's go to McDonald's. I think it was after one of her soccer meets. So we go to McDonald's, we get something, and then I pay for it. She doesn't pay for it. I pay for it, of course. You know, I mean, those days are coming. They're just not there yet. Those days will come, maybe when they're out of college. But I got a long ways to go until then. So I pay for a meal, and then she does this. And I was just like, wow. She says, Daddy, would you like one of my fries? Tears start welling up my eyes. I'm like, oh, God, she's learning. She's doing so good. Yeah, I mean, it's great when you see things like that happen from your kids. You're like, oh, I'm doing something right. Barely. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way. But she says that, and I was like, wow, what a difference from another child of mine when I asked for fries where they said no. And I was like, listen here, kid, I could drown you in fries for the much amount I could buy from you. You know, I can buy all the fries at McDonald's and just drown you in them. Not like physically drowning, but I could just dump them all over you and say, hi, you want fries? I'll give you fries. So my flesh wants to do. Not a lot of love there, but here, you want some fries here? I'm going to buy some more. Give me fries. Give me the whole thing. You know? It's tough some days. It's tough. But when she said that, I was like, wow. Lord, I thank you for her perspective. And that's how we need to be with God. God supplies all this stuff for us. He's so amazing at doing it. I mean, it's lucky that we're even here. We're lucky that we're even here. I mean, some of us shouldn't have been born if we want to go that far back. Some of us, with some of the life choices we've made, shouldn't be here. I know I'm one of the ones that shouldn't be here right now. But thank you, Jesus. He had a different plan. And he was like, Van, you need to go to CLCC. I need to send you there to give Pastor Steve more gray hair. It's not true necessarily. He's only got white hair, silly. I need you to marry his daughter because you're going to work patience in him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know. He'll say amen to that all day. He's like, yes, Van, you have given me patience. I appreciate it. I love Jesus, and I love you too. It's all right, though. It's all right. He's a good father-in-law. I like him. He's my favorite, actually. He's my favorite father-in-law. He's my favorite. He's the only one, but he's my favorite, you know. So when Evelyn did that, I was so blessed by that. I was like, you know what? We need to be able to give back to what God has given us. And that includes every aspect of our life. It's a big aspect of tithe, time, energy. God gives us all these great things. Can't we just give something back to him and praise him out of the thankfulness of our heart, the gratefulness of our heart? Because he's so good. And how we do that, and some of you might be like, well, Van, yeah, I try to do that. Sometimes it's a little difficult. But because we can do that even better is when we realize our identity in him. When we realize that we're a child of God, we realize we're a co-heir with Christ, we realize we're a slave to righteousness, we realize that he is a good God, a good father, when we realize that we're adopted into his family, when we realize he values us, when we start to realize who we are in him, it makes it a lot easier to be able to say, you know what, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what's going on. And Lord, maybe I don't understand certain things. Maybe I don't get it, why you did it this way. Maybe I don't understand why this happened. But Father, I trust you, and I trust what you're doing in me and through me. Let's turn to our text this morning. That was all for free. So let's turn to our text. Let's go to Romans 6. And we're going to talk about a little bit about that. Oh, there it is, Jack. Go, Jack. Romans 6 this morning. I'm going to verse 1 through 18. We're going to have some fun here today. We're going to see some freedom here today. It's going to be great. I pray that you've got some revelation already, because he's so good to give it. You just have to ask. Like, Lord, I'm just open. Amen. Romans 6. So I'm just going to read along to 18. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Let's go back to Romans 5 now. Like saying, well, that's a strange statement. Romans 5 talks about the law and how we needed to have a sacrifice for us. There was only temporary sacrifices. The priest would come once a year and offer some rams and bulls, sheep without blemish. And that would have to atone for us for the sins. But how many of you know that when you have a gushing wound, sometimes a Band-Aid won't work? It won't. I mean, I remember when I broke my nose one time. I had blood just gushing out of my nose when I broke it. I was doing something silly. Yes, I was trying to pop a wheelie on my bicycle to impress some really cool friends of mine, and I fell on a brick patio and busted it all up. So some of you are like saying, well, Van, you should have not done that. That's why you did it. I mean, that's why you should have done it. Yes, I should have done it. I got that. And I busted it all. And instead of, you know, my neighbor who was there, instead of her just putting a Band-Aid on it, you know, oh, it's just gushing a little blood. Let's put a little Band-Aid on it. It should be fine. You know, here's one with the Ninja Turtles on it. This will match. No, we couldn't do that. I was using paper towels, and they were like the Bounty versions of them, the quicker picker upper ones, and there was still more blood coming out. So the law was only able to put a Band-Aid on the gushing that was happening. But then when Jesus came, come on, when Jesus came, man, he can fix you up right. He can do it. He stopped the bleeding. He atoned for all sin. All sin. And when I say all sin, sometimes we forget that all means all. Sometimes we just think, oh, all my sin. But we don't realize that it's the whole world. It's not just the people living now. It's the people that lived before. The people that lived before them. We're talking about this. His atonement covered the sin from Adam. And it will extend until the end of this age. Covers all sin till the end of this earth. So whatever sin you may do, it's covered. Think about that. It's all covered. So we don't have to live in that. So the law required the sacrifice, that Jesus paid the sacrifice once and for all. So now he says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? For by grace we were saved. By his blood we were saved. By his blood we were redeemed. So Paul says, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from death through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Come on, somebody. I'm just going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there because I want to go on something real quick. If God's covered all that stuff, if Jesus paid the ultimate price for us, for all sin, then why do we need to even sin? Should we go on sinning? Should we go on with our lives? No. God forbid, or by no means. Because he made a way for us to get out of the law and into him. And when he talks about baptism, that's what he's talking about. See, some of us were baptized at earlier ages. And we're like, oh, yeah, it was fun. It was great. We know some of us remember it more than others. And some of us were a little bit more about, you know, understanding it more. But baptism really means putting to death your old self. And we get that. We teach that here at CLCC. Putting to death your old self. But realizing that when you put your old self to death, you don't have to be a part of it anymore. This flesh now becomes a new creation. That means that I don't have to be addicted to the things that I was addicted to. That means I don't have to think the way I used to think. That means I don't have to do the things I used to do. Because now I'm a new creation. We might have to have another baptism service here, Pastor Steve. We might have to have that. Because we're getting the revelation. I want everyone to get that revelation here today. And I pray the Lord does it because he's so good. Because when we get out of that old self, we become new people, a new creation, new creature. We are not subject to the law anymore. We're subject by grace. And when we give grace where it's due, when we go to say, yes, grace and righteousness go together hand in hand. Because it says in First Colossians that we can stand before the Lord free from accusation through the blood of Christ. Come on, somebody. We can stand without blemish or spot because of Christ's blood, and because now we are a new creation, we can go forth in that. We can enjoy it. We don't have to be, brother, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this today. It's a rough day. No, we don't have to go that way. Because we've been baptized, we are a new creation. We don't have to give in to the things that we were so easily entangled in the past. Because his blood sets us free. And you know what it says about sin, don't you? You know what it says about sin? It says where sin abounds, grace abounds more. So where darkness is, there's more light. Where addiction is, there's more freedom. Where there's selfishness, there's more love and giving. Come on, somebody. Catch it today. So we don't have to be stuck in that rut, stuck in that place, that add to a perspective like, I don't know what I can do. It's all about me, and it's all about not about anything else, and I'm just a slave to my flesh. No. He did not make you a slave to flesh. You were a slave to flesh before you were saved in Christ, before you were water baptized. Now that you've been to that, you're a slave to righteousness and what he has in store for you, because he has great things in store for you, because he values you. He loves you and values you so much that he sent his son to die the most gruesome, horrible death so that he could show you, hey, I want you, I see value, I want you to serve me, and I will show you how awesome I am. And I'm not going to wait till heaven to show you all that stuff. I want to show you here on earth. Come on, somebody. We don't have to live in that old flesh any longer. We don't have to live sin conscious any longer. We can live son conscious. It's amazing how much God can do in our lives, where he takes us from. And can I be real for a minute? Are y'all okay with me being real? When the Lord shows something to me, I don't mind sharing it, because I know it's going to bring you freedom. It's going to bring God to his name be glorified. So when we live sin conscious, that's when addictions happen. That's when things of our lives get torn up more about us and about medicating how we feel than seeing how good he is and keeping our eyes fixed on him. And that goes with any sin. Any sin. And you can have freedom from all those addictions, all those things that so easily entangle you. It doesn't matter what sin it is. I know in my life that there was some addictions I had. And I was one of these statistics right here. Did you know that according to a survey, 68% of church-going men and over 50% of pastors view porn on a regular basis? You're like, whoa, Van, that you went deep real quick. Yes, I did. Because I'm talking about sin. And I was one of those statistics for a long time. And you're like, well, Van, do you do that now? No, I don't. Because I've become more sun-focused, more sun-conscious, and relying on him more than medicating myself. Because it's a dark place. It's like, and it can be with any sin. You know, it can be with any sin. I'm not just singling it out, but I'm singling this one out because God's going to give you, he's going to give some people in here some freedom from that. Even if it's one person, it's okay. He always said, I'm going to give somebody freedom from that and from some other things that are in their life that they've become addicted to, whatever sin it may be, because you're going to share this, Van. Because I've become more sun-conscious in my way of walking, in my way of living, instead of sin-conscious. Because I'm a new creation. He values me. He sees me as a son. And I realize that I don't need those things. What I need and what I want is to bless him. And when those temptations come, and the temptation is not the sin itself, it's the act of what you are being tempted on and whether you will be into sin or whether you'll be into righteousness. That's the choice you'll make. And when you have that temptation, your response can be, I don't want to do that. And the reason why is I want to bless my father. I mean, I have a wife. I have kids. I mean, yes, those are good things to say about, but those things will not sustain me in my temptation. Those things are limited. They're good reasons, but they're not my identity. And if I let my kids and my wife be my identity, then if something happens to them, then I'm crushed and I cannot contribute to what God has in store for me. I become a shadow and a husk of what I can be in Christ. because I found my identity through them. When I find my identity in Christ, then I realize it's all in him, and I'm his son, and because he will not fail. So I want to encourage you today. If there's anyone that's been addicted to things, sin in your life, you don't have to live with that. You can move on, whether it be porn, whether it be any type of other addictions, whether it be something you do on a semi-regular basis, whatever. You don't have to live that way any longer. And the way you can get through it is to be sun conscious. Because I love it now. I mean, I'm in one of the best times of my life right now where I'm walking down, I'm like, man, this is so good. And the reason why I say it is because if there is something that would ever pop up, if there is something that ever would happen, then I'm like, well, God, thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your blood. And I'm not staying where I am. I'm moving forward with him. And that's what happens when you mess up. We always think, oh, we got to cower away. We got to do the whole shame and guilt and condemnation. Don't look at me. No, it's not like that at all. God said, don't run from me. Don't be like Adam and run from me, try to hide from me. Bring it to me. Let me give you freedom. Let me give you joy. Let me give you courage. Let me show you how awesome I am, how my grace can abound more than any sin or any addiction. Let me show you how that is. And now I don't look for sin any longer. I don't look for it. It's not like, oh, I'm just waiting until I mess up. No, it's not like that at all. Because when you have your eyes focused on him, you're not looking. You're not sin conscious anymore. You're not looking for, oh, I've just got to make it for a few more days until this happens or I get out of this situation. No. You're knowing who you are in Christ. You're knowing your identity in him. And when you know those things, boy, it sets your world apart. You're like, I don't have to give into that. And being dead to sin, being a new creation, we don't have to adhere to that any longer with our flesh. Come on, somebody. I'm giving you freedom today. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to give you freedom. We don't have to live in those things any longer. We can live how God wants us to. Because he loves you. And he paid the ultimate price for you. So let's all just stand right now. I'm not going to put on any music today. And I want you just to close your eyes and bow your heads. Because this is your time to do things with Jesus. Your time. Not anybody else's time. This is your time. There's no kids around. There's nothing distracting you. This is your time with your Heavenly Father. And I want you to ask him two things. And he's going to respond to you. The first thing I want you to ask him is, Lord, I want to bless you. And how can I bless you more? I want to bless you, and how can I bless you more? And that's our attitude towards him. The second thing I want you to ask the Lord is, Lord, help me to see myself in your perspective, how you look at me. Or in other words, help me to see what you see in me. So, Father, right now, we just thank you for helping us with our attitude, our perspective, and most of all, thank you for transformation. You're so good at it, Father. Lord, we want to live up to the name of Christian and be the name Christian, little Christs. So that when people see us in the world, they'll be able to tell the difference between us and them. Because you are love and you are awesome. that we'll be able to show our families more and more of you, our friends, our coworkers, even our church, not out of pride, but out of thank you, Father, for what you're doing in us, and that we can live an awesome, fulfilled, and fruitful life in you, whichever arena we're in. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in us. We thank you, Lord, and we're so grateful, so grateful, so thankful that even though we come to you with all of our needs, Father, it looks more like a needs list than a devotion, Father, that you still didn't turn us away and you still say, keep coming. You're going to get it, but keep coming. Lord, I thank you that you showed us some light today, some revelation on what sin is, on what righteousness is, on what baptism is, and how we can live not according to our flesh, but according to you and our identity in you, Father. And if, not when, and if we do fall short, then we can come right back to you, Father. We don't have to stay away. We don't have to get away. Not like it was when we were younger. We'd run. We were in sin. We were in punishment, afraid of what might happen. But we can come to you, Father, and you give us freedom and you give us life. We thank you, Father, right now that you are so good and that you value us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.